The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon. So today the Lord, in the first reading, is telling us about vanity. You know, sometimes vanity can be misunderstood according to the way that the scriptures are speaking. Because if we understand vanity just as the way we understand it now, then I will be speaking about the way you dress, the way you put makeup, the way you do your hair, do your shoes, and everything. Now, is there anything bad about looking good? No. That's why sometimes I get a little bit upset whenever I see people coming to mass in sandals and shorts. Right? It's not proper. But I will also get upset if I see that it's already too much. Why? See? It's either we overdo it or we don't do it. So we have to strike that line of prudence. If we are invited to a wedding, we're not going to go in sandals. Well, Jesus says one time in the Gospels, "Here is something greater than the weddings. Here is something greater than the president." You're not going to go and see the president in sandals. It's not about vanity. Actually, I would say sometimes it's more vain or it's more vanity to come in shorts and sandals than to come well-dressed. I'm not asking you to go and buy a suit, an expensive one, and come to mass. No, even if it's all clothes, but you come tidy and nice with the heart prepared to see that someone that is greater than any other celebration. That's what is demanded of us. That's what it is to come to see the King of Kings. If we speak about that kind of vanity. But it's not about that kind of vanity, see? The first reading, the Lord tells us that these people came and said, "Tell my brother to give me what belongs to me." Do you know how many families have been broken and destroyed just because of inheritance? Just because the father and the mother died and there is money left and land and properties left? I have heard, I have seen, they even kill each other. They hate each other because they did not receive what belongs to them. And what is the response of Jesus? Be careful of greed. Now, we have to understand that word greed. It's not only about wanting more. But the Greeks, as usual, they are more explicit and more detailed on the way they speak. So the word in the original text is pleonexia. I forgot my paper, so I think it's pleonexia. Something like that. And what does that word mean when you understand it in the Greek term? It says, be careful that you do not go after more than what you deserve. Do you know why he said that? In the first place, if you really think about it, when the parents die and all of these properties and this money, this land are left, to whom do they belong technically? They don't belong to the children. They didn't work for it. See? And we are fighting for something that technically is not ours. You didn't work for it. What is yours is what you are working for. Not that just because it was my parents, it doesn't mean that it belongs to you. Technically, it does not mean that. Now, if they decide to give it to you, that's one thing. But it's being given. Not that it's your right to take it. Yet, so many people die, so many families break their ties just because of that. Because they think that it belongs to them. And you know why is that they think that way? Most of the time is because when we were trying to acquire all of these properties and all of this money and all of this land, we forgot about what is important. That's why they don't care anymore. That's why they don't care if the memory of the parents that die will be destroyed because we are fighting among the siblings. We forgot about what is important. And that's what Kohelet or the Ecclesiastes is telling us. That word vanity does not mean exactly that vanity that I was speaking about, but vanity in the scriptures is hovel, which means, in Hebrew, means something that is fleeting, something that is like a breath that is here now, tomorrow is not going to be there, it's just passing. Kohelet is one of the most depressing books if we do not understand it. Because Kohelet is telling us, why should I work if tomorrow then I will be dead? My days are numbered, so why should I do all of these things? Of what profit is this if it's going to go in the snap of a finger? He's not trying to tell us, don't work. He is trying to tell us, yes, work. It is sacred. It was sanctified by God in the Old Testament. It was sanctified. And we should work for what we need. And that's the key, what we need. Not more than that. We should work. But we should also understand that if we spend our time, all our time in our life, working for these things, tomorrow we don't know if we're going to be here, and then our children are left. Because we work the whole day, we don't see our children. Some people work from 4 to 9. And then when I ask them, and what do you do when you come home? Well, Father, I'll just get dinner, take a shower, and then go to bed. What a life. Yes, Father, but you know what? I need to provide everything for my children. They don't lack food. They don't lack any clothing. They have a house. They go to school. They have shoes. And I was able to provide a cell phone because, you know, when I was young, I didn't have anything of that. See, wasting their lives to provide that cell phone, iPhone 13, $1,500. And guess what? That same cell phone has taken their children away from them. And that's why Kohelet is saying these people cannot even sleep at night. Because at night they are still thinking that anxiety of what's going to happen tomorrow. What am I going to do with my business? What am I going to do with the business is going down, the money, what is going to happen, the land, who is going to take care of it? See? Their richness that they possess is now possessing them. They have lost peace. I don't know if I said it to you, I think a few weeks ago, but I remember I said, if you pay attention to these movies that sometimes there is a king and there is a queen and they have children, and because they are so occupied with running the government of the kingdom with the lands that they possess and maybe expanding their empire, what happened to the children? When there is a decision, important decision of the children to take, to whom do they go? They don't go to the king. They don't go to the queen. They go to whom? To the nana. See? Why do you think is that? Because the king and the queen have no time for them. Where do you think that our children are going to go for to ask for these decisions when we are not present for them? Where do you think that your wife is going to ask for decisions when you are not present for them? Or when your husband, when you are not present for them? When there is no time because we are going, working and working and working for all of these things that at the end, we don't know what's going to happen to them. See? So that's what Kohelet is saying. We are wasting our time for something that is just passing when the real values we are forgetting. See? And I see this every day. When people come to me and tell me their struggles, their worries, and their anxieties. That's why last week I said, next week we have registrations for the first communicants and confirmation. And then I told the people, as much as some of them hate me because of that, but I had to say it. Why? Because I said, next week is registration. If you have any relative, a friend, a sister, a cousin, an auntie who will come and ask you when is the registration for the first communicants, tell them that I said that they have to come to Mass at least for 1 year before we'll receive their kids. And then you will say, Father, why are you so that strict? You cannot deny the sacraments. I'm not denying. I am opening the way for a better reception. You know why? You see these families who come with the little ones, and when I give communion, and what do? They extend their hand. They look at me, waiting for it. Some of them even kneel so that I can give them the blessing. Why do you think that they do that? Because they come here, and they see, and now they are desiring to receive that something, that cookie, sometimes they call it. But at least, and what happens when they are not given to them? The parents will say, you have to go to classes to receive it first. And when they come to classes, they listen and they know what they will do. But if they've never been in church and it's just time because it's the tradition, because my mother or the grandparents are asking for it, they will bring it to me. You know what happened to the RE program? It becomes a daycare. There is no value for them on it. It will be easy for me to invest my time to get money as a priest. Believe me, I can get money as much as I want. As easy as taking all of the baptisms that people will want me to do, and they will say, Father, we need a special baptism on Tuesday. It's okay, go ahead, $50. Quinceañeras, weddings. I could spend my whole day doing baptisms, quinceañeras, wedding, and even if you want, I will do a special first communion. $50 each. For what? I'm not giving any value to what I'm doing. I'm doing my obligation, but I am forgetting the real meaning of what I'm doing. And so that happens in our families. Father, it's my obligation to work and to provide for my kids. Yes, it's your obligation to a certain extent. Because it's also your obligation to teach your kids how to respect. It's also the obligation to teach your kids to live in a family. That's why they go looking for new families outside, and where do you think they will find it? See? Where do you think they will find their family when the presence of the parents are not there? And sometimes pass the responsibility to the eldest. And then they lose their life also because they take the responsibility that is the parents. I know that sometimes life can be very difficult and you have to work. It goes from situation to situation, yes. But I guess we can all be prudent and we will know when it is the time. So if you have given these possessions and these blessings, then thank the Lord the right way. The right way, by passing down to your children what it should be. Do not just give everything to them, because that's why you have no control over them, because they know that if they get mad at you, you will just give something to them, and that's why they keep doing the same thing over and over again. Teach them how to fish. Do not give them the fish. Give them the fish, and then you will see why we have young couples who separate after 1 year, because the wife doesn't know how to cook, because the man doesn't know how to do the laundry, because they don't know how to clean their room. Why do you think that they start fighting? I'm sure that they love each other, but they start fighting because of little things. You already went through that, I'm sure. See? So then let's change it. Let's do what we have to do in our little ones, in the young. We are investing too much in what is the outside, the possessions and all of these things, that vanity of sometimes parents want their kids to be just like them. They will not be just like you. They have their own personality. We're investing too much because we want them to be the same as me. No. Let them be. They have their own life. You will just go with a hand guiding them whenever they are going the wrong way, but do not make them like you. Because we are all different. We're investing too much things sometimes, and all of these things gives us anxiety, gives us worries, and that's why we cannot see the reality of what is going on in our lives, in our families. And that's why they go away from us. And you know what happens? Every time. The other day I received this, I was talking to this young boy, and then he said, and I said, "What are you doing here?" "Well, Father, nothing to do." "What do you mean nothing to do? You're supposed to be in school." "I called my mother to come pick me up." "Why?" "Because the professor was there, but we were not doing anything." "Okay, and how often this happens?" "Father, almost all the time." "So why do you go to school?" "Why do you think that this happened?" "Because we have the right to protect the children. And now the professors cannot say or do anything to children because they will call the police and they will lose their job. So they rather just to let them be." And whose fault is it? We blame the professors because they don't teach. But who taught the children to disrespect? It was not the professors. These things are learned at home. We cannot only blame the people that they are always hanging out with. 90%, they learn it at home. And then we blame others. When I get a call, emergency call, "Father, you need to go to the hospice, you need to go to the home for the elderly." And when I go there, and then they say, "They need the sacraments." When I go there, and then I say, "So what's going on?" "I just need someone to talk." "Where are your children?" "Well, Father, they are busy. You know, they have their families. They have businesses. They live in another place." Wow. But they have the money to pay for that hospice. But they don't have the time to take care of the parents. In the first place, where did that education came from? Why? Because most of the time we forgot about teaching them the value of a family. That's why they don't want to take care of their elderly. And they die alone. They will only come when they receive the call. 2 hours. 1 hour. And then when I go to give the sacrament, they tell me, "Father, can you please wait? Because we're waiting for other families who want to see them die." I just want to slap them in the face and say, "You were not here the whole year, and now you want to see them die?" I just want to send them to hell, but I cannot do that. But that's the reality that we are in. That's it. That's it. That's why we have these problems, because we have invested too much on what is not of value. We cannot reflect on these people who are poor, yet they die together. Yet they are united. They live in a house with just carton and just a piece of wood there, and they live there, and they eat only beans or potatoes, yet they are happy. I'm not saying that you are not to persevere and to try to get what is good, but you have to be careful that is not happiness. That is not happiness. Remember the first, the story of creation. What happened? The Lord created the earth and everything that is on this earth, and then created man. And then what happened? He gave him dominion and control over everything that was on earth. And then what happened? What happened? Huh? He saw that man was alone. See? Man was alone. And what did he say? So that he will not feel alone, I will make someone as him. And then he took the rib and then made women. See? Happiness is not in material or possessions. Happiness is not in how much we have or how much or who we are. Happiness is when we come together and we are present to each other. The more you have, and if you focus on what you have, you will end up alone. And this is what happens to this man of the parable. That's why he says, I already have all of this grain, but what am I going to do? And then the scripture says, and I will say to myself, the original word says, I will say to my soul, meaning to say he was alone. Drink and be merry. Most of the time, these things lead us into different vices. Because everything, we have everything, and so it's easy for us to go party, to go and drink, and to all of these things. Some people have even gotten their possessions and their riches by taking advantage of others. Yet they will say, thank you, Lord, because everything I have, you have given it to me. See, how we can misunderstand these things. Because there is no humbleness. Because there is no willingness to really be happy. We are blinded by everything that this world can offer. And the ones who will suffer are these little ones who we think that is the future of the church. And I have not yet gone to that point of talking about the kingdom of God. Huh? But you know where all of this leads. That's why St. Paul says, be careful of all of these vices, because what matters is what is in heaven. So, let us ask the Lord to give us the strength and to open our eyes and to give us a spirit of humility so that we may understand and we may accept that we need more of the presence of God so that we may be present for those that He has given us. Let us now stand.